I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This scene is the night before Jesus would be crucified. John records a long discourse of Jesus. John's writing, his gospel, it's really not his gospel, but his view of Jesus' life has the most words captured of Jesus during this time frame. The other three tend to just focus on the events, and there are some teachings there, but John really records a lot of what Jesus talked about that night. And this is an important teaching. Jesus knows that he is about to go through a trial, a crucifixion, a death, and ultimately a resurrection. But his connection to them was going to be different. This was the last time that he was going to be with them as their rabbi, as their traveling companion, as their constant with them. And so he wants to set them up for this next stage. Jesus describes himself as the vine. This is imagery that the apostles would have known. The scriptures that are up, the one from Psalms and the one from Isaiah, they're talking about Israel being the vine. So having vine imagery was not foreign to them. It was, again, a concept they were familiar with and they would have understood. And they would have also, as people that lived much closer to agriculture than we do today, that a vine supports and nourishes the branches. For anyone that has seen a grapevine, you have this main structure that goes into the ground, this trunk, if you will. And from there, the vine goes out. And from the vine, the main vine, are branches. And you have the fruit that hangs off of those branches. But without the vine, the branches don't do anything. And the fruit that is produced is not by the branches trying to produce fruit. The branches can really do nothing on their own. They have to be connected to the vine. Jesus refers to God as the vine dresser in the beginning of this section. And Jesus goes further and says that he will, this is God, the vine dresser will prune the branches. And that is so that they will produce more fruit. For those that are familiar with fruit trees, you know that you have to prune them, and that pruning is not a punishment to them. It is not so that they endure some sort of correction. It's to encourage growth. It's to encourage more fruit production. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, which I'm going to flip to because that is entirely too small for me to try to read. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I can't help but think that Paul is recalling these words of Jesus when he's writing this passage in Romans. That he's thinking about God as the vine dresser. And while we may have sufferings, those sufferings are to help us produce fruit. Abide. The word abide is used 10 times in this section in John. Jesus is very clearly trying to hit on a theme here. He's repeating the word over and over again. Abide means to remain, to stay, to dwell, or to continue in. It's interesting. Jesus does not say, perform for me. He does not say, impress me. He does not say, earn from me. What he does say is, abide in me. He says, stay connected to me. Abiding means to live in constant dependence on Jesus. And not just on Sundays, not just during prayer time, but daily, moment by moment. The connection between Jesus and us is essential for life. If we aren't connected, we can be anxious, we can be distracted or spiritually drained. Jesus says that apart from him, we can do nothing, but connected to him, we will produce fruit. Paul talks about some of this fruit in Galatians chapter 5. We have the fruit of gentleness, kindness, love, self-control, patience, faithfulness, joy, generosity, peace. I know I said those out of order, but that's okay. This is fruit that is being produced through us. This is not fruit that we produce ourselves of our own character, our own energy, our own desire. Remember, we are the branches. We are not the vine. And just like how a branch on a grapevine doesn't struggle or stress about producing fruit, we should not struggle or stress about producing this fruit. If we abide in Jesus, the fruit will be produced through us. Peace will be developed within us. Kindness will be extended through us. Self-control will be manifested from us. What happens when we don't abide in Jesus? These are the words that Jesus spoke. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. This is a warning from Jesus, not in terms of punishment, but the reality of being disconnected from him. In this life, this looks like spiritual dryness. This looks like a loss of passion. This is not something that happens because you did something terrible, because you're a terrible person. This is a result of being disconnected. You can be trying to live a good Christian life and not abide with Jesus. You can be so busy doing that you don't take time to just abide. God is looking for relationship, not performance. Let me say that again. God is looking for relationship, not performance. So how do we abide in Jesus? What does that look like? Jesus tells us in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Okay, so what does that look like in our lives? What does having his words abide in us mean? This isn't occasional Bible reading. This isn't pulling the Bible off the shelf, dusting it, looking up a verse, and then putting away. This is about a allowing of Scripture to shape our thoughts, to shape our actions, to shape our very being. And that requires time. Psalm 119, 105. And I like this version of it, so that's why I put it up there. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus goes on to say, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So what are the commandments that Jesus is talking about? He answers the question for us. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Last year, Adam did a series and produced these little cards that said, love God, love others on it. I have it pinned up at my cubicle at work. It's a daily reminder of what I am called to do. This is not merely a suggestion of Jesus when he says, love one another, but it's a commandment. He's asking us to be obedient to his commandments. And when we're obedient to his commandments, we are abiding in him. Think of the relationships that you have with people, your friends, your family, coworkers. Think about those that you have the closest relationships with. Do you talk to them? Do you share your life with them? If the answer is no, how close a relationship do you have with them? Relationship requires communication. It requires sharing your good times and sharing your bad times. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says to pray without ceasing. don't think Paul meant constantly be talking. It's kind of difficult to do other things if you're constantly talking. While humans like to think we can multitask, we really can't. We can do one thing at a time, sometimes okay. What I think Paul is talking about here is praying in a sense of you are sharing your life with God. You are connecting with him throughout the day. There will certainly be times where you will utter a prayer, where you will call on God for strength, or you'll thank him for an answered prayer. You were dealing with a difficult issue and you've been praying about it, and it gets resolved, and it was resolved better than you could have ever hoped. You thank him for that. God, thank you for just being there for me. To me, that's praying without ceasing. That's abiding in God throughout the day. Jesus gives us another tool for abiding in him. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. This is a very powerful statement from Jesus. Abiding is not just about what you do. It's about what you receive. You stay rooted in the truth that you are loved, you are accepted, and that you belong to God. Many people struggle not because they lack discipline, but because they forget that they are loved by God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The Hebrew writer here is exhorting us to encourage one another in love and good deeds. Now, I know this passage has been used in a legalistic way to enforce church gatherings. But the meaning of this passage is so much more than merely checking a box. The Hebrew writer here is stressing the importance of meeting together to encourage each other. There is something powerful about being part of a body of believers. So while abiding is personal, it is not isolated. What happens in your life when you abide in Christ? John chapter 15, verse 11. Joy is not a temporary emotion like happiness. Sorry. Let me read John chapter 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So joy here is not a temporary emotion like happiness. Joy in the New Testament is more than emotion. It is a settled, spirit-given delight that arises from the redemptive acts and abiding presence of God. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is not the magic combination to the God vending machine, where you have a desire, you have a want, and you go to God and he's like, okay, well, I will give you this thing. That's not what Jesus is talking about at all. What he is saying is that your prayers become powerful. And this not because God is going to grant you whatever you wish, but because as you abide with him, your will aligns with God's will. And so the things that you are asking for are in alignment with God's will. It doesn't become about you, it becomes about God. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Abiding is not just about you. It's about revealing God through your life. So what does it really mean to abide in Christ? It means to stay connected, not striving, but remaining. Not performing, but depending. Not forcing fruit, but letting it grow. Jesus didn't call us to live life alone. He called us to stay in him. And when we do, we find strength in weakness, peace in chaos, joy in every season, purpose that goes beyond ourselves. The Christian life is not about trying harder. It's about staying closer. This morning, if you feel disconnected from Jesus, remember that you are loved by God. Remember that abiding in Jesus is not about straining to be good or to do enough, but about relationship. Spend time talking to Jesus, pouring out your heart to him. Read his word and let it shape your thoughts and actions. If you have never connected to the vine that is Jesus, he is waiting for you. When the Apostle Peter was asked by the crowd what they should do after finding out that Jesus was the Christ, his response was this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is our opportunity to bury our life of sin and be raised in newness of life. We are then grafted onto the vine, and his Spirit can produce fruit through us. At this time, we are going to stand and sing. This is an opportunity for you, if you want the prayers of the elders, to come forward, go to the back, seek out one of us after. This is an opportunity to reconnect to the vine, to let Jesus flow through you. Let us stand and sing.